Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to an absolutely incredible woman that I've had so much fun already talking to off camera. Her name is Sherry Dixon, and she is from Sherry Dixon Consulting. Sherry, thank you so much for being here today.
Brooke, thank you for having me on. I am so excited about our conversation as well.
I'm incredibly excited. So we are going to dive into life pivots, transitions, and the absolutely amazing story she has. But before we get started and all of that, what is the Cliff Notes version of who Sherry Dixon is to give us some background context?
Absolutely. So I actually grew up in a very small town in North Iowa here in the United States. And after college, it was difficult to find a teaching position. I knew I was always going to be a teacher, and I'd been offered other positions. You know, once you have your degree, people look for you, right? But I wanted to teach. And so we made the sacrifice and we moved 1,000 miles from home to the big city. So I now live in Houston, Texas, which I absolutely have learned to love. If you've ever been in Houston, it's hot, it's busy, it's tropical, it's smelly sometimes, but it is my home, so I can't complain. And I had some really great life and career experiences while being here. I was able to move up in my career. I became an elementary principal in my early 30s, which was pretty unknown to have happen at that point in time. And I actually would lead schools that were failing, and I would go in and fix them so the state would not take them over. My daughter is amazing. She is now a teacher. She's getting married this year. So I think I did a pretty good job as a mama as well. And I was able to find my place, right? I was able to find how I fit in with my family and my friends and my hobbies. I'm a runner. I run the Houston Half Marathon each year. And of course, my business partner, who you can't see on camera right now, is lying in the other room. He's my chocolate lab pit bull. And he keeps me pretty busy as well. However, I loved everything that I was doing in my career, but I started to realize when I turned 50 that I was dedicating my entire life to the school. I didn't have a lot of time for all of these extra things that I wanted to do in life. So I said, I'm going to make a big change. And it was huge. In June of 2023, I left the schoolhouse. I said, bye-bye. And I went into the world of entrepreneurship, knowing not a whole lot, right? But I navigated my way through. And I have to say, I'm about 7 months in and so many amazing things are happening. I can't even start to tell you how many, but I'm so happy that I made that change. And I bet on me, because it's easy to stay in a box. It's easy to stay in a system when the system's kind of comfortable, right? You're making a good salary and you have the benefits and the things that you need. But when you don't feel fulfilled, you have to listen to yourself, because nobody deserves to live life unhappy.
I'd love to zero in on a point. So when you were making the decision to leave, I'm always curious about this. Was it a gradual realization that you were wanting to leave the school system, kind of like a knocking on your soul? Or was there a specific turning point?
I have to say that I'm kind of a combo of both. I married my high school boyfriend. We were married for almost 20 years and we divorced. And it was a pretty messy divorce. It was very public. And I was a very big perfectionist at that time in my life. And I felt like I had failed so much. And I kind of went into this tough depression for a while, where I started to feel like everything that I had been working for in life didn't matter, because my marriage was gone, right? My partner, my who I thought at the time was my best friend. And I started to question things, lots of things, like, if I have to build this new life, do I even want to bring anything from the old life with me? And I was turning 40 at the time. So, you know, you're already kind of going through that midlife crisis. What I had to tell myself is, you actually get an opportunity to make a life that you want to live without anybody questioning it, without anybody naysaying.
Less fear of judgment from others. You can let some of that go, take that, you know, blanket of always worrying about other people's expectations off.
Absolutely. And when you're 40, you kind of have some experiences under your belt, right? So you can kind of go, oh, I know I don't want to do that, but what about that? And that's where I was. So I started dabbling in a few things. I started looking at real estate and I started looking at house flipping and things that I had a passion for. Well, I ended up still missing the world of education. So I just stayed. I actually made a transition back to Iowa for a couple of years and realized that that's when I learned Houston is my home and I love it so much.
The culture shock got you.
It did. And it was probably the snow, actually, but that's a whole nother story. When I got back here to Houston, I took over another school that was failing and I had an amazing team working with me. But something just didn't feel right. I started to realize that I was waking up in the morning going, okay, you can get out of bed and you can do this. And I wasn't depressed. I'm not typically a depressed person. I have a very positive outlook on life and can do a lot of things in my world. But I just felt like something was off. And then as I was turning 50, I had a very close friend. Her and her husband got off a plane after a vacation, and he went to check on his mother to make sure she was okay. And he walked out into the yard and he fell over and he had a heart attack. And he passed away. And he was just a couple years older than me. And I just, at that moment, I'm sitting at the funeral thinking, life is too short. If you're waking up every day and you can't jump out of bed going, I cannot wait to start this day, something needs to change. And so that was my pivotal moment, but it took me a minute to be able to prepare myself to really say, okay, I'm going to leave education, because I knew I was going to be a teacher when I was 6 years old. And so that was my entire life. And I felt like I was going to be cheating on the school system, right? Cheating on my dreams. But then I had to sit back and just realize I had so many more dreams that I wanted to accomplish before I one day realized that my life is over. And so it took me about a year to prepare and be in a place where I could leave. But there have been some challenging times since I've left, but I know I made the absolute right decision. Every single day, I tell myself that.
I really relate to what you're saying about feeling like you're cheating on the school system or cheating on your dream in some way, because when you lock in at a very young age on something, whether you want to be a doctor, whether you want to be a school teacher, whether you want to be a mother or a father, whatever it is, it's very easy to wrap your identity around that one dream, right? And say, no, I might have other dreams, but this one's the primary one. So this one's the one that matters. It's very easy to push those dreams to the wayside.
It is. It really is. And I think that's what's, you know, something that at every age we have to realize. As I mentioned, I married my high school boyfriend. I married him because I was in love with him and I wanted a life with him. But what people don't know is I also became a teenage mother. Before I was married, I had these big plans in life that I was going to go to college and then I was going to do these huge things when it comes to teaching children and supporting teachers. And I didn't have the best relationship with my own mother. So kids were not even on my ticket, right? I did not anticipate becoming a mom. I started college. I was going to be a PE teacher. I was going to teach.
A PE teacher? How interesting.
I know. And it was all because I thought if I could touch every elementary student that came through my PE program in a way that could get them to understand the concept of obesity and healthy living, that I could somehow impact the world and reduce the phenomenon of obesity. Well, I got started. It was amazing. And boom, I now became a mom. And I had to pivot. And I had to pivot real fast because you go from college kid to mom and then wife and employee because you have to pay your bills, right? And I had scholarships to college, but I still had to pay for a home and food and daycare and all of the things. And so you do have to realize and give yourself some grace sometimes to know you may have a plan and you can still make that happen. But when hurdles come in the way, you need to have a backup plan and you need to know that it's okay, that you're not cheating. That's what I had to tell myself as I made this transition away from education. I'm not cheating. I'm living life for me. I'm putting me as a priority. And I'm not doing it in a bad way, in an ugly way, in an illegal way, but I'm doing it in a way that still impacts the world, which I set out to do. And it still gives me opportunities to connect with people and do good things for others.
I love what you said about transitioning from college student to mother to wife, because roles are really hard for people. And I feel that roles keep us so stuck because think about university students. You're living, you know, hopefully you're potentially with your mom and your dad or living with a guardian, someone safe. Then you're alone and you're in a room by yourself and you're choosing what you eat, how you spend your free time, who you spend said free time with. And you go from role of being essentially a child to being an adult in your own space. And that's a really hard transition to navigate because there are so many options that it lends itself to overload. And you probably felt that a little bit going from college student to wife and mother. There's a lot of hurdles that kind of come along with that, just slightly different. How did you manage and I guess navigate those transitions for yourself?
I think one thing that, and I'm not a very religious person, I will tell you this, I don't go to church a lot, but I am very spiritual. And I do believe that there is a higher being. And I do believe that things happen for a reason. Growing up, I mentioned I didn't have the best relationship with my mother. She left us when we were still pretty young. And so it gave me a lot of responsibility as the oldest child, the oldest of three. I had to make sure my siblings got to school. I had to make sure that they had dinner. I had to make sure they did their homework and those types of things because we lived with our dad and he worked all the time. Fast forward to this, I wasn't somebody that was out at university partying and doing all of these things, even in my first year, because I needed to get out of my situation. I was on a mission. I wanted something more. And so I was very serious about going to school and getting, I had a class at 5:45 in the morning, my first year in college. Who does that? Looking back at it now. Yeah. Looking back now, I mean, I would be like, okay, younger girl, don't do that. But I thought I can make all that work, right? So I do think I was set up well in my childhood to be able to make this transition. But when it's your own child, it's different. When it's your everything, right? I was in love with my husband at the time, you know, and I wanted us to have a huge life. I wanted us to just be the three together that people, you know, would be like, wow, they made it happen. And so when you transition like that for a purpose, when you have that passion for it and the desire to make it happen, I think that that helps a lot because you keep going back to your why. Why am I making this happen? And honestly, it was that little redhead I had in 1990, you know, looking up at me the first night in the hospital saying, basically, come on, show me that you're a strong woman. Show me how to navigate life. Show me how I'm supposed to live life in the future. So I think that that was a big part of it. But then you just take one step at a time. You realize you're going to make mistakes. You realize that you might have to ask for help. And a lot of times, especially transitioning from living at home with mom and dad to being or whoever you're living with to being totally on your own, you think you're running the world, right? You're like on fire. Exactly. And it's hard to ask for help. So you have to know that it's okay to ask for help. It's not saying take over. It's saying, what would you do? And then you get to choose, you know, what advice do you listen to? Do you listen to the advice of the college roommate down the hall that is failing all their classes? Or do you listen to your aunt who graduated, you know, with honors and has their dream job. So you have to determine who you listen to, who you put in your world, but just take that one step every day toward what you need to do and remember your why, and you'll be okay.
You're bringing up that important topic of discernment. Discernment is so hard to know, who do I listen to? Who do I trust? Especially in the age of the internet, right? Where there's so many shorts. So there's a lot of information, a lot of distrustworthy information out there. Do you have any stories of discernment from your own life where, you know, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your business, or just figuring out who to listen to, or maybe even perhaps coming back and listening to yourself? Because I think that's huge too.
I will. And I don't share this story a whole lot. So here we go, right? Because of my situation growing up and just trying to fly under the radar and get myself in a position where I could do better, I became a very quiet, introverted kid, right? And I didn't want to draw attention to me, and I felt unsafe in a lot of situations. And you might call me shy, and you might have called me intimidated. I would call myself that back in the day. And coming to Houston and building a new life, I told myself, you can't be that person anymore. You're a mom. You are a degreed professional. You want to do big things. Because even at that point in time, I thought one day I might be a superintendent of a whole district, you know, and you can't just be quiet and shy and intimidated by people, right? Insecure. No way. So I pretty much reinvented myself coming here to Houston. And I was probably also known as the queen of the nerds in high school, right? I was very, very studious and smart and that kind of thing. But because I was so shy and intimidated, I didn't hang with the real popular people. It was more I was in band, and it was my band friends, and I loved my friends. I mean, we're still friends today, right? But I wasn't with the cheerleaders and the football players and the basketball players and all the things. And my family didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't hang with the rich kids or anything like that. So when I got here and made this reinvention, I became somebody in the school that people trusted and people listened to and people came to for advice, because I was doing good things in the classroom. And I started moving out of the classroom into administrative roles. And I started to become what I'll put in quotes, popular, or at least I thought popular, right? And when you weren't popular for so many years, I kind of got like pulled into that, right? And I always say that I'm somebody that I make my own mind about things. I make my own opinions. I'm not going to go with the status quo, but for a while, when I was feeling that popularity, that love from all the cool kids, so to speak, I started listening and acting like them. And we had this one teacher in particular who just, she would say one thing to your face and go and do something totally destructive behind your back. And yes, teachers do that. I mean, I'm sorry, but just, we're humans, right? So it's like everything else. And I had to really realize, after a tough situation happened where a close friend of mine was totally embarrassed by her, and I was indirectly involved because I was, you know, listening to her, that no, that's not who I'm going to be. That's not what I'm going to be. And I live close by this teacher still to this day, and I see her out and about often. And, you know, I have to handle that now. We're in our 50s, so we should be able to, but some people still bring that middle school attitude, right? So it is important. I think bringing this up is truly, truly huge, because number one, what you see on the internet, it's not all true just because it's on the internet, right? I could tell you anything, and I'm on Facebook every single day, you know? But I think too, you have to know your own values. And when you're transitioning from high school into college into young adulthood and trying to figure out who you are and how you fit in, that's a tough road to navigate. It really is. But just stay true to you and know who you are. Become self-aware. If you wouldn't want to be treated that way, then don't get involved in the treatment like that of others. I think it's so important.
Attention is incredibly intoxicating, especially when you're not used to it. I think in college, you meet so many new people at university, you get a whole batch or set of new people, males, females, potential love interests, potential friends, potential social groups. And it's easy to jump in with the first people that show some level of acceptance to you and not really consider, what do I like about these people? I think the Mean Girls movie, if anyone's seen the Mean Girls movie, is a really, really good example of this phenomenon in action. It's, you know, kind of just jumping in, not really thinking about the reputation that happened with being in with the quote unquote mean girls. And that's so hard to navigate in college or university life because everybody wants to be universally accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we're all human. And so, you know, if you do get involved in something like that, or you do find yourself kind of going wayward off the wagon, so to speak, it's okay. That's the great thing about being human is you get a new day the next day, right? I always say you do better when you know better. And when you know better, you need to do better.
I agree with you. So as far as transitions, what was a tip or a technique or a strategy that you use to help navigate those? Just any transition in your life, whether it's your recent entrepreneurship transition or perhaps a past transition. I'm always curious because I've had a lot of transitions for me. Some of them actually, in fact, not even transitions that I necessarily wanted, but were necessary at the time. And I'm always curious, what's the technique that you use that helped you the most?
I think there are a couple of things, honestly. I think number one, you have to really be ready to be uncomfortable for a while. So you have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. It's not going to be uncomfortable forever, but with a transition, there's going to be some time where you don't know what you're doing, right? You have a plan, you have a goal, you have a dream, whatever it is, whether it comes to you or you pursue it, it's there. And you're going to have to navigate that and be okay with learning lessons. Be okay with not being the best, right? Be okay with making a few mistakes as long as you learn from them. I think the other thing is you have to remember your why. Even when something causes you to make a transition, like my divorce, I could have totally just lost it all. I mean, I could have. I really struggled in that time of my life, and I had to stop and I had to ask myself, what do you want in life? And then, as I mentioned, realize that I get to build this beautiful life that is all about me for a moment. My daughter was already grown and, you know, so it was all about Sherry. And I kind of like that, you know, now that I've gone through that. But it was a big pivot because that wasn't normal. I was mom. I mean, and this was the order. I was mom. I was wife. I was principal for many, many years. And that's how it was. And then Sherry came a very distant last. But remembering my why and knowing I have two choices. I can lay down and let life determine my future and have no idea what that's going to look like. Or I can take it by the horns, so to speak, and still continue to make my goals and dreams happen. They just might look a little bit different. You might not be having all of these fabulous experiences with your best friend, but you may have another best friend or a different kind of friend or a different kind of partner to be able to do this with. And then finally, I think you have to just never quit. Never give up. Never give up. You are going to have hard days. And if we think that anybody's life is 100% perfect, well, there's no such thing as perfect. As a recovering perfectionist, I can tell you that. And number two, it's just human nature. We're going to have good days and we're going to have not so good days. I mean, we all know that. You learn how to navigate those. You learn how to deal with those, but you never quit. Don't quit on yourself. You're too important.
And you're the only you that you get. You've mentioned perfectionist a couple times. I always find that there's a link between perfectionist and people pleasers. Is that true for you?
It was for a long time. It really was.
How did you navigate both of those journeys? Because as a recovering perfectionist and people pleaser myself, it's hard. And the sooner that you go, I guess, on that deconstruction journey, the better your life becomes.
Absolutely. I had to learn boundaries for sure, you know, and I had to learn effective communication skills and the fact that it's not you did me wrong. It's I feel a certain way, right? And then just understanding nobody's perfect. And if you are killing yourself to be perfect, you're going to kill yourself, basically. And I was right there. I was trying to make everybody love me. I was trying to make everybody happy. I was trying to have the perfect. Even when I got divorced, I'm just going to tell you, people were shocked because looking at the Dixon house, the three of us, we were Barbie and Ken and the beautiful redhead child, the actress to be. I mean, we were the it place. We were the ones who hosted all the parties with our friends and family. Everybody wanted to be with us. And I created that because I needed to have the image that we were perfect. And that was part of me realizing after that divorce pivot, you don't have to be perfect. Just go live how you want to live and just be you, be authentic.
I've had so much fun with you. If you are going to impart a piece of wisdom for our beautiful audience and really leave them with, I suppose, a golden nugget that they can carry with them when they're running, they can repeat it in their head. What piece of wisdom, what would you impart on them?
This is what I told every one of my teachers when I left them at the end of 2023, the school year of 22-23. And I hired all of my staff members except for maybe four. So I had been with them a while. And there were tears, and I hugged each one of them and I whispered in their ear, don't play small, be big. And I think that's what I would leave your people with. We overcomplicate life, you know, we do, but it's all about be big. Whatever big means to you, go be big.
Oh my goodness, Sherry. If our viewership, they want to connect with you, they want to come get inspirational notes from you, whatever the case may be, how can they find you?
Probably the easiest way would be either on Instagram or Facebook. On Instagram, I'm at Sherry Dixon Consulting. And on Facebook, just my personal page, Sherry Dixon. I'm spelled with a C, C-H-E-R-I-D-I-X-O-N. But I keep things simple, of course. But I would love to connect because, again, I'm on a mission in this new endeavor to have an impact on at least 5,000 women over the next 10 years. Hopefully it will be more. And in order to do so, I have to be able to share my wisdom and my knowledge and my experiences. And like you said, we all go through so many pivots in life, have so many ups and downs. If just one little piece can help someone be better, then I've accomplished my mission.
Oh my goodness, you gave so many golden nuggets in that last sentence. Everyone's going to have to go marinate on those. They're going to write them in their journals in the evening. Sherry, this has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.